Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
But we're going to go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and bring in Greg Schwartz of the Bleach Report. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
No doubt. No doubt, man. Really quick before we get into the league coming back here in July. You know, everyone's been talking about, the police brutality and social justice when it comes to African-Americans in this country. And it seems like the NBA has always been at the forefront of this, a little ahead of the rest of the leagues in terms of being more receptive to players speaking out and saying what they feel concerning these injustices. When they come back, what type of stuff you think will be out there in terms of being able to actually protesting? Do you think there will be a conscious effort for the players to protest? And what kind of, what kind of things will they do in terms of a league-wide approach to the flag and the anthem?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The NBA's, been the most progressive league on a lot of things. And I think, the NFL made a step in the right direction yesterday, and Major League Baseball, unfortunately, like most everything else, is in a distant last place when it comes to changes and adaptation and marketing and all that stuff. I was there, almost two and a half years ago when LeBron did his final media day conference with the Cavaliers, and it was like a 45-minute conference, and he touched on so many different things. And I remember him talking about Colin Kaepernick, and him saying that he wouldn't be taking a knee, but he was obviously very supportive of Kaepernick and everything he was doing. I remember having that conversation 2.5 years ago, and here we are. Like, we're still we're still not, there's some people still not fully accepting of Kaepernick's message. And, he's obviously been on the league for years and years. I would fully expect to see a lot of NBA players kneel during the national anthem, when the league resumes in July, and even, going into the next season when we see all 30 teams come back. I think I can't remember one, maybe I'm forgetting, I can't remember one NBA player that took a knee during the national anthem. Forgive me if I'm forgetting anyone, but I can't remember that happening. I definitely would expect to see that when the season resumes now.
Looking forward, well, now that there is going to be a season, man, it's an opportunity to, talk about it. And like you said, baseball, we'll get to we got a baseball update coming up after we talk with you. But it looks like, baseball, once again, is a distant last when it comes to getting their act together. But the NBA looks like they're ready to go with the money. It looks like they have a tentative plan of how they're going to do this thing. And then league is coming back at the end of July. What do you think the impact will be immediately as far as the numbers are concerned? Do you think individuals will be able to come back and pick right back up where the NBA has been at? Or do you think the product will suffer a little bit because people have to get ramped back up?
Yeah, I think the product's not going to be great right away. I know a lot of players have spoken about this, how much time it would take to get back in game shape. I know LeBron said that it would take about 3 weeks worth of a training camp to really get guys going again. I was on a Zoom call with Larry Nance Jr. a couple weeks ago, and you know, he reiterated there's no shape like game shape. He said, you know, we can do all the workouts we want to do. We can play basketball. We can, in our own gyms or our own workout facilities, but there's just nothing like the real thing. And I think, yeah, we've never seen, you know, obviously players go in the off season, but they're still active. They're still, you know, guys are playing in the Drew League or they're playing in the Olympics or Summer League. There's always basketball going on. We've never had like a complete shutdown like we've seen the last couple months. So I would expect the product to be a little rough, especially when they first come back. But you know what? That's why they're doing 8 regular season games. They're not jumping straight to the playoffs. They're going to give them a chance to shake off the rust. Obviously, that benefits the teams that are just outside the playoffs trying to fight their way in. But I think that's good that they're giving them that time. And by the time the playoffs start, hopefully it looks like real NBA basketball again.
Talking to Greg Schwartz on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Of course, he's with Bleacher Report. I'm interested to see. I'm really pulling for this, and I think it's something that can really help spike this interest in basketball. Is I would love for the Pelicans to get in the playoffs. I would love to see Zion Williamson on that main stage. Even more, I think that with him, he had the injury beginning of the year, and chances are he wasn't 100%. You're never really 100% coming back. But just an opportunity to watch the Pelicans play and watch that young kid with just the explosiveness that he has, it'd be awesome to see that young team. And I think Jrue Holiday was playing out of his mind, too. I think just watching that team, I think they would be a really fun team to watch going into the playoffs if they were able to make it.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I think that's what the NBA wants, too, if you're talking about ratings. You know, the Los Angeles Lakers they're locked into the number one seat. They're 5.5 games up on the second place Clippers. The Clippers are not making up 5.5 games with 8 games left to go. That's not going to happen. So the Lakers are, you know, you can write it in stone. They're the number one seed. So now it's okay. And the Mavericks, who are at 7, are not falling to 8. So your options to play the Lakers in the first round are the Grizzlies, the Blazers, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs, and the Suns. I think the Suns are too far back. They got a pity invite to join. They're not going to catch them. Memphis obviously has a three and a half game lead, so they're the favorites. And you know, Memphis would be entertaining. People like Ja Morant, people like Jaren Jackson Jr. That would be fun. But if you could get New Orleans in there with, like you said, with Zion Williamson versus LeBron James in the first round, obviously you have the history from the Anthony Davis trade. You have Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart and guys that I'm sure would love to be able to play against, you know, the team that traded them in the first round. I think that would be the number one matchup to watch. But I'm also going to throw Portland in there. If you can put a healthy Portland team, getting Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins back with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, that would be a tremendous first round matchup, Lakers-Blazers as well.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with that, totally. Eastern Conference, looking at them and looking what they got, obviously the Bucks are a solid team out there. Can't really figure out who, what, where, when. What are the Sixers? Not totally sold on what they can do. And I'm just, you know, of course you got the Celtics out there, but the East is a little more open. I think it was a pipe dream to think that Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant are going to come back. But what are your thoughts on the East and what the proposition or kind of the pecking order is out there?
Yeah, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving kind of made it official yesterday. They're not coming back for this season. They're going to wait until the season resumes in December. Probably a good idea. There's obviously a lot of really good teams in the top of the East. Even if they did come back, you know, what percentage would they be at? You know, was it really worth it? So for them to wait for next season is probably the right choice. I think Milwaukee's head and shoulders above the rest, 53-12, best record in the NBA, 28-3 at home, 25-9 on the road. I mean, they can win anywhere. The best defensive team in basketball. Offensively, they're right at the top two. So I would put them at number one, especially for a team that, you know, teams typically need that one deep playoff run before they take that next step. The Bucks getting to the East Finals last year, I feel like, was that for them. The Raptors at number two, I don't fully believe in them. You know, as good as they've been without Kawhi Leonard this year, I still feel like, okay, who do they go to? Can Pascal Siakam be the number one option on a championship team? I don't know. I don't know that he's proven that. Boston, I still feel like their core is pretty young when you're talking about Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I know they have Kemba Walker, but they might have some matchup problems up front, especially if they go against a team like Philly or Milwaukee or Toronto that has these bigs. And then, you know, you look at the rest of these, Miami, Indiana, Philly, all teams that could win a series but, you know, probably not compete for a championship. I would be shocked if Milwaukee does not come out of the East. I know I said that last year, too, when they had the number one seed. But I think it's going to be Milwaukee against one of the L.A. teams. And I don't know if it's going to be the Lakers or Clippers. I said the Clippers before the season started, so that's probably who I'd stick with.
What do you think? Would you be more impressed if LeBron won a championship, or would you feel like it was unearned? And kind of, you know, digging deep into the question a little bit and kind of explain it a little more. If LeBron wins a championship, do you look at it as, wow, this dude took off that much time and he's like old and he came out and within, you know, 20 games with the regular season and then in the playoffs, he just came back and dominated like it was nothing? Or if he wins, will you diminish it a little bit because it was a shortened season and people just don't believe it accounted for the grind of the season plus the playoffs and winning the championship. So where do you fall in that?
I would take absolutely nothing away from LeBron or the Lakers if they won the championship. I mean, look at their body of work. The fact that, you know, not only did they miss out on the playoffs last year, they get Anthony Davis. They obviously gut their roster, and they come back. LeBron completely switches positions, you know, plays point guard for the majority of his time for the first time in his career, and all he does is lead the NBA in assists at age 35. I mean, that doesn't happen. Nobody else in the NBA could do that. The fact that they built a 5.5-game lead at the top of the West when everybody else said, you know, it was probably going to be the Clippers, the Rockets are going to be up there, you know, and nobody really thought the Lakers – we're going to be the number one seed. Everybody had him penciled in as a playoff team for sure, but I don't think anybody said, yeah, this is the team that's going to win the West and it's going to challenge, you know, Milwaukee for the best record in the entire NBA. I don't think anybody saw that coming. And, you know, LeBron, obviously, he's older, but he's in phenomenal shape. So I feel like that you could say, like, the rest is good for him, but he's on such a detailed schedule regimen for his body, for his workouts, knowing what they need to shut that down for a couple months and then come back. I feel like that would be even tougher for him than somebody who's 22, 23, 24 years old. If the Lakers do end up winning the title, LeBron gets his fourth championship, absolutely no one can diminish that because they had to go through everything else that everybody else did. They had to be shut down like everybody else. They had to go through the same playoff system. If LeBron wins that title, I don't want to hear any Jordan fans or anything diminishing that because he absolutely 100% earned it.
I think you bring up a good point. You would have to ask Michael Jordan fans after he retired and came back in the middle of the year, right before the playoffs, if the Bulls would have won that championship, would they have diminished it? No, they would have been like, he didn't even play for 2 years. Oh my goodness. He's the greatest ever. When you look at it, and really quickly, to finish up here, let's pivot to the Cavs a little bit. When you look at this team, obviously they're young two guards, and obviously they have Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson and some of these other guys. What does this roster look like next year? You know, are they going to obviously, it looks like Tristan Thompson, since the Cavs aren't back, may have played his last games in a Cavs uniform. Does that mean Kevin Love is now more expendable, or they're going to look to move him in the offseason, or they're going to wait to the top of the year? What does this roster look like next year?
My gut tells me that we've seen the last of the 2016 champions with Tristan being a free agent, with Dele being a free agent, with Kevin Love continually on the trade block, that would be my guess, is that we've seen the rest of them. A couple things that would not surprise me, though, and I think most of us assume Tristan's going to be gone. I would put the brakes on that a little bit, just because if we see the salary cap drop potentially $20 to $30 million, like some projections have shown, there's going to be very little money out there. The best way for Tristan to cash in would be to re-sign with the Cavaliers and either do a sign-and-trade or just sign a one-year deal for a high dollar amount, let's say a one-year $15 million, where the Cavs could go over the cap because they own Tristan's rights, and then they could either trade him or he could enter free agency in 2021 when all these teams have been clearing cap space for years. If he wants to get paid and he doesn't find a deal that he likes out there, it would not surprise me at all to see him sign a one-year deal and come back to Cleveland even as a backup, because he was still producing. If you look at his numbers, they didn't drop off that much, even after they traded for Andre Drummond. So I could see Tristan back on a one-year deal. I think the Cavs will continue to try to trade Kevin Love. I don't know if they'll find a buyer. Even though he's getting older, the check goes down, the easier it's going to be to trade him, and the more they're going to get back for him. Nobody debates that Kevin Love is not a good player. The argument from other teams is he's just not worth the contract, and that's a fair argument. So I think we're going to see, you know, the young core is going to be mostly the same. They're going to add a top five pick. They have the best odds, tied with Golden State and Minnesota, to get the number one pick. But I think certainly some of those veterans could potentially be moved.
All right, Greg Benop, really appreciate you coming on, breaking it down for me. I'll be interested to talk to you and see what's going on with the playoffs as it comes around. I'm interested to see how this thing looks playing in a central location with the NBA coming back at the end of July.
Yeah, it's great to have real basketball to talk about again.
Yes, yes, man. I appreciate you, man. Have a great day, man.
Thanks, you too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.